to have, be a part and impact on them. And he really, as far as his own personal involvement with them, but he wanted to be a blessing to them, to help them. He heard about their salvation. Now watch this. After he hears what God's doing in their life, I want you to look what he does. Look what he does. Verse 9. For this cause also, we also, since we, the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So he begins to pray for them. But what? For you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So Paul here in chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, he teaches us tonight, and we're going to look at how to find God's will for your life. How to find God's will for your life. Let's pray together. Father, will you help us tonight? The Lord, make this simple to us. And I pray that every man, every woman, and every young person can leave this building understanding what the will of God is for our life, and how we can know the will of God and do the will of God in this present world. And Lord, tonight, many times we are looking for an explosion about the will of God, but you are just very specific and general. So tonight, Lord, make this simple to our hearts. Guide us in the next few moments. Build us up. Equip us, Lord, to follow you and obey Jesus Christ. We pray in your name, Jesus, and all God's people say it tonight. Amen, amen. Thank you. Be seated. I think it's very interesting here in verse number 9. Paul said, since the day that I heard about your salvation, of your love for God, I begin to pray for you that you would know the will of God and do the will of God. Now, why is that so important? Please pay attention to this and don't miss this next minute. If you do, you're going to miss the whole thrust of what I'm preaching tonight. When a person gets saved, they have now entered into the family of God. If you got that, say amen.
Amen.
God's Spirit has now entered into your life, and your life is no longer yours, but now it belongs to Him. So my life, when I got saved, I come into the family of God, and now my life belongs to Him to do with what He wants to. If you're following on that, say amen. Now, why is that important? This is why. Because if you are saved tonight, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You belong to God, and His desire is to do His will through your life in this earth. Now, when you talk about the will of God tonight and how to know the will of God for my life and the will of God for your life, you say, Brother Joey, you're a pastor. That's God's will for you. Yes. But understand tonight, Brother George back there makes cabinets for a living. That is the will of God, how God talented him and gifted him spirituality to do other things. I think about Chris and I, works on the farm. That is the will of God for his life right now. You have a will of God in your life to do and fulfill. Now, the will of God, if you're taking notes tonight, is twofold. Please don't misunderstand this either. There is a general will of God for your life. What is a general will of God? Here's what it is. It is how we should live like now in our life. Once you get saved, there is a will of God, something that He wants you to do, a way He wants you to live in this world. Now, we know tonight, after we come to Jesus Christ, His will for us is to be like who? Him in every area of our life. That's the will of God for your life. But Joey, how am I supposed to treat my wife however Jesus tells you to? How am I supposed to treat my husband however Jesus tells you to? How am I supposed to spend my money however Jesus tells you to? And the Word of God and the Spirit of God will teach us the general will of God, how we are to live the general will of God in this present world. But follow me tonight. Then you have the specific will of God. What is the specific will of God? The specific will of God is a specific position, place in this world and in His church that He has for you to do, where you are going to serve Him and where you're going to live for Him and how you're going to represent Him in this present world. Did you know tonight, Christian, that the Bible teaches that we are to pray about everything in our life? Now watch this. Let's say tonight you were getting married. Got a couple singles in our church that pray about their future. How do you know who you're supposed to marry? The Bible is very clear on general guidelines of the kind of person you're going to marry. And then you have to ask for guidance on who that individual is in our life. What about a job? You need to pray, God, what job do you want me to have? Where do you want me to work? Where do you want me to be? Why? Because there is a specific will of God in this world. But not only that, in the church, there is a unto all pleasing. Now, what does that mean? The Bible here says that we are worthy, or we live in a manner, in a way that pleases Him in our lives. I want to go on record tonight. I want you to get a hold of this tonight. If you as a Christian are not going to do what God wants you to do, and you're going to live in sin, you will never know what God has for you in this world. Why? Because you're not living right. You're not doing right. And hey, God is not going to put you out there as His representative as we live in sin. And if we want to know the will of God, it begins with us walking worthy of Him who has called us, representing Him in this world. And my friend, we can't live in sin as we want to and say, God, show me your will. God looks down and says, I'll tell you, your will is to repent and get right with me. And when you get right with me, then you can walk with me and follow me, and I will show you my will. That makes sense tonight. Say amen. Number one, it starts. You want to know God's will, you live right. I'm telling you, this is important. This is why. This is why this is so important. I know people, there's people right here in our ministry who call me, preacher, what do you think God wants me to do? And here's my first thing. First thing, He wants you to do right. And He ain't interested in showing you what's behind door number three, and you won't even get in the house. And I want to tell you tonight, you are messing your head up, and somebody has led you false doctrine. If it says you're a Christian and God's going to show you the will of God for your life and what He wants you to be doing, what ministry He wants you to be involved in, where He wants you to serve, who He wants you to serve with, and how He wants you to be doing it, you're kidding yourself. If you think He's going to show you that and you're not living right, it starts, we have to walk worthy. Paul, the first thing he prayed for is that they would walk worthy of Him unto all pleasing. Number two tonight. Boy, I like this part right here. Number one tonight, it starts with living right. Number two, here it is. You need to do what you know you need to do. You need to do what you know you ought to do. Now look with me, if you will, in verse number 10. Look back at verse 10. He says this, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, live right. And then watch this. Being fruitful in every... Say those next two words with me. Hey, we're in the Bible tonight. Let's get in verse 10, okay? By the way, I'm going to answer to God for everything that I'm studying and preaching, and you're going to answer to God for every word that I'm preaching. So you better be ready for it, that you are listening and applying it to your life. Look back at verse 10 tonight. We want to know the will of God, live right. Number two, look what he says. He says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every... Say the next two words with me. Good work tonight. Now, what does this mean tonight? This means as a Christian, not only must I live right, but follow me, I must be willing to do what I know I ought to do now. Fruitful in every good work here implies that we are willing to do what He has already shown us to do. Do you ever dawn on us tonight that God is not going to ask us to do something more if we are not doing what He has already shown us to do now in this present world? Listen tonight. I still remember, I'll never forget when I think I was 22 years old, and I had just got in a staff in North Carolina working with Brother Nate, and I remember there was a missionary that was going to the mission field, and he came by, and he said, Brother Nate, I'm going to the mission field, I want you to sponsor me. And here was Brother Nate's first question. He asked this. He said, are you actively going out and telling people about Jesus where you are now? And the missionary said, no. You know what Brother Nate said? We're not going to support you. Because God is not going, watch this. God is not going to ask you to do something when you're already not doing what He's already asked you to do. And so if you want God to show you something in your life, then you better get busy doing what He has already told you to do. What does that mean, Brother Joy? You say, Brother Joy, I have a desire to teach. I have a desire to lead. I have a desire to serve. Then, hey, get involved somewhere in the body of Christ where He has called you to. Get involved somewhere where God can begin to use your life. And as you serve Him here, He will show you what's next. But if we want God to show us His will, it starts with living right. Number two, it starts with doing what we know we ought to do. But number three tonight, and I want you to stay with me here. Don't get nervous, okay? We're getting to number four. We're going to spend a little time on number four. It's been a blessing to my heart this week. I want you to look at number three, though. Number three tonight. Number one, how do we know the will of God? We got to live right. Number two, we got to do what we know to do. And then number three, here it is. We have to endure through the trials. Endure through the trials. What do you mean, Brother Joel? Look back at verse 11. I want you to see what the Bible says. He began praying. they see a need needs to be done, and it just it drives them and motivates them to do that. It might be something as very simple as an older lady that's been sick, and God puts it in your heart to go cook a pot of soup for them and take it to them. You know, in heaven, we won't get rewarded for that stuff. That's just as important as teaching a Sunday school class in God's house, because you're using your gift in the body of Christ. And whatever your gift is, that's what you need to be doing. And I think about those people involved in that way and in doing that, but I want to say this. As we begin to serve God and live for God, look what happens in verse 11. He says, strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I read this verse, and I read verses 9 through 14, and I broke down this chapter and trying to see the theme of the chapter and what he's trying to tell us here and what he's trying to get us to see. When I saw verse 11, I thought, that don't make sense. That don't make sense. He's talking about knowing the will of God, and he said, okay, you got to live right. That makes sense. I see that in the Word of God. He says, you need to do, you need to be fruitful under every good work. You need to write down, be serving me and being fruitful in that. But then he says, strengthen with might, with all might, according to his glorious power, under all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. What is he saying? Here's what he's saying. As a Christian, if I'm going to know the will of God in my life in the future, then I have to endure, if you can, the hardships right now in our life. And I want you to look at with me, if you will, back in verse 11. Look at the first part of the verse. He says, strengthen with all might. What does that mean? That means as a Christian, I have to learn to experience his power as I am being attacked by the devil, the enemy, in this present world. Now, how does this happen? How does this happen? Well, if you were here this morning, I preached and I ended the service with talking about the absence of Jesus is the problem in our life, and it is Jesus that helps us get through in our life. But I want you to think about this. How many of you would agree that you've seen somebody before and you've watched what they're going through in their life, and you sit back and you say, no, I do not know how in the world they make it through what they're going through. Hey, that couple I was with you about this morning, I could not imagine being 38 years old. And on Friday, I took my wife to have a surgery. And on Monday, she died. I could not imagine that. A simple outpatient surgery left me with four kids. I could not imagine being in that situation. But to hear, listen to this, to hear that they're doing good, they've got the joy of the Lord, are they sad? Yes. Are they heartbroken? Yes. But they have peace. Why? Because God, listen to this, is strengthening them. He is strengthening them. And listen to me tonight. There are some people who think in their mind that the Christian life is who I am, what I know. Listen, the Christian life is his power in our life enabling us. And y'all, if we're going to do the will of God, we have to endure the hardships of life by his strength. We have to depend on him. We have to come to him and say, God, you've got to help me. You've got to deliver me and guide me and help me through this. And he says, strengthen with all might. But then look at this next thing. Look at it, what he says in verse 11. He says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, what does that mean? As we endure the challenges of following Christ, we've got to learn to receive grace, his help, and as we go through challenges, and we cannot quit. Why? We have to be patient and allowing God to do his work in my life. Why? Because as a Christian, as we serve God, it becomes more and more difficult. Why? This is why. Explain this to you. Now I'm going to move on to number four, and I'll tell you, number four is going to be a blessing. It's been a blessing. Everybody in this building tonight is on one of two teams. The Bible says there is God and his dominion, and there is the devil and his dominion. Now watch this. When I was born and when you were born, don't get mad at me tonight. There's some of you in here tonight, you're not saved. You've never given your life to Christ. And tonight, what team are you on? The Bible says you were over here, you were under the devil's dominion in your life. Are you saying with joy that I'm a child of the devil? No, I'm telling you, the Bible says that you of your father, the devil, the lust of your father, you will do. The reason we live in sin is because the devil is over us. Now watch this. When I'm over here, Paul says that Christ is my enemy. But watch this. When I get saved, I am now under Number four, look at verse number 12. Watch what he says here. Verse number 12, he says this. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of an inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Number four tonight, if we want to know the will of God, then we must be people that give thanks. The Bible says here that Paul began to pray that they would be thankful people, that they would give thanks unto God. And then he tells us two reasons, two ways we give thanks to God. Verse number 12, he says, first of all, because we are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you know tonight that the first thing we can be thankful for is that we have been given an inheritance in God? Hey, listen tonight. When you became a child of God, when you turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, you now belong to him, and you have received an inheritance now, a spiritual inheritance. And in the future, when we get to heaven in the future, we have an inheritance waiting on us. Why? Because we are the children of God. And Paul said, I'm praying that you will learn to say, God, thank you for the inheritance that I received, because I know the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, and do you know tonight, do you ever just sit back tonight and think, you know what? Boy, this world is nasty. This world stinks, but hey, it's going to be hard down here. But when we get up there, we have an inheritance, an eternal inheritance. But watch this. Right now, we have a now inheritance. A now inheritance. We are the children of God right now. Listen to this tonight. If anything comes in your life tonight, let's say you're going down the road, you get up and you go home, you go to bed, and you go to sleep, you wake up tomorrow, and you go to work, or whatever it is you're doing tomorrow, just stay with you. Something comes into your life. Do you know if you're a child of God, you can go and you can talk to the person that created this world and is in control of everything, and you can talk to him about anything you can pray. A person living in sin, they can't do that.
That's right.
Someone that knows Christ, they can't do that. They can't go to God. They can't talk to God about their prayer. We have an inheritance, not only that, but look what he says. We are to be thankful for our inheritance. But look at the next thing in verse 13. He says, who hath delivered us? Say that if you will, if you don't mind, just look back at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of what?
Darkness.
The second reason tonight we can be thankful to God is this. It's because we have been delivered from sin. I've been delivered from it. Have you ever thought about this tonight? As a Christian, you do not desire to sin. Listen to this. Sin is now a temptation to you instead of your nature. You know what your nature is? You're a child of God. The Bible says, wherein he hath given us unto his Spirit, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And tonight, if you know Jesus, deep down in your soul, your desire is to live for him. That is your desire. And sin is a temptation to you now. It is not your first nature. Why? Because you're a new person in Christ. And Paul said here, we are to be thankful that we have been delivered from the power of darkness. God has changed us on the inside. And hey, tonight, Christian, yes, we're living right. Yes, we're following God. Yes, we want to do the will of God. But why? Because he has delivered us. He has brought us out from under the dominion of the devil. Put us in the inheritance of the kingdom of God. Jesus is our brother in Christ. Hey, he is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is the one that is over us now. And we're joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah to God tonight. We can be thankful because we have been delivered. Somebody say amen tonight. And you say, Rachel, what does that mean? We do this. We begin to learn what God's general will is for our life. As we begin to follow God, the longer we get down the road and the more we follow God, the more he opens up to us, the more he shows to us, and the more we begin to see of what it means to know and to do the will of God. Tonight, I'm not preaching on how to know whether you should buy this car, that car, that car. I'm preaching tonight on this. You need to understand that if you keep walking down the road, how to know the will of God and to do the will of God. And if you want to know the will of God in your life tonight, you got to live right. I'm telling you tonight, you say, Roger, I love being at church. I'm glad you're here too. But if you are not going to live right, you will never know the will of God. Number two, you got to do what He's already asked you to do. There's some of you in here, and He's talking to you about this. You need to do what God is already asking you to do. Don't ask Him to send you over to Africa, and you won't even go to your neighbor and talk to him about Jesus. Don't ask God to do that. He's not going to. We need to do what we know we already do. Don't quit. And number four, live thankful. Why? Because as we do this, we can know the will of God.